everyone, and welcome to Everyday Black History. I'd like to welcome you to another episode, and happy Monday to everyone out there. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Hopefully you had a great start to your week. So today on Everyday Black History, we're just going to get right on into it, and we're going to continue talking about members of the Black Arts Movement. Now, there were a lot of different black artists that were associated with the Black Arts Movement. I mean, like, you can just look up the Black Arts Movement on its own, and you will see a ton of poets and authors and just, you know, people that a lot of them are individuals we know in black history and black culture who contributed or were associated with the Black Arts Movement. There's so many of them. And we're just covering a few, and, you know, throughout the year, we'll come back to it and cover, you know, different individuals. And we'll even do an episode just talking specifically about the Black Arts Movement and what it meant to black art and black culture and literature and poetry. But today we're going to continue and just talk about another individual who was associated with it. Just like last week we did Nikki Giovanni, the week before that we did Sonia Sanchez. So today we're going to talk about a brother by the name of Dudley Randall. And Dudley Randall was a poet as well, and he was also a publisher from Detroit, Michigan. He founded the Broadside Press, which was a pioneering publishing company that published poems, black-owned, obviously. And he published many black writers, such as Gwendolyn Brooks, Sonia Sanchez, Audre Lorde, Etheridge Knight, Margaret Walker, Melvin Tolson, and many, many other black poets and black writers of the time was published in the Broadside Press. Dudley Randall wrote, you know, well-known poems. One of his most famous poems was The Ballad of Birmingham, which was a written response to the 1963 bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, in which four young black girls were killed. That's his one of his most well-known poems, but he's written other poems that are known. And his poetry is characterized by simplicity, realism, and a liberation aesthetic, as what one critic called his writing. Some of his other known poems are A Poet is on a Jukebox, Booker T and W.E.B., and The Profile on the Pillow. So we're going to get into a little bit of his background. He was born January 14th, 1914 in Washington, D.C. And he was the, you know, comes from a nice-sized family, third of five children. And his family moved to Detroit in 1920. And his interest in poetry developed at a young age. By the time he was 13 in 1927, he published his first poem, which was a sonnet, and it appeared in the Detroit Free Press. Now, that sonnet that appeared in the Detroit Free Press won a prize of $1. The first prize was $1 on the Young Poets page. But you can see it was at that age when he started to get into writing and into poetry. And early inspiration for writing poetry stemmed from his father taking him and his brothers to hear prominent black American writers and artists speak, including W.E.B. Du Bois, Walter Francis White, James Weldon Johnson, among others. So when he graduated from high school in 1930, he worked at different jobs. You know, he worked at the Ford Motor Company. He's from Detroit, so obviously, you know, the auto industry was the driving force in Detroit for a long time, especially during his youthful years. The auto industry is what, you know, that economy is what, that's what spurred the Detroit economy. So he worked there for a few years. He also worked as a clerk at a post office, and he served in the military during World War II. He worked at the post office also while he was attending Wayne State University, while he was working on getting his bachelor's of art degree in English in 1949 from Wayne State University in Detroit. He also completed his master's degree in library science at the University of Michigan in 1951. He even worked as a librarian at Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, as well as working at Morgan State as a librarian. He returned to Detroit in the 1950s to work at the Wayne County Federated Library System as head of the Reference Interlibrary Loan Department. And even while he was running the Broadside Press, he was also a reference librarian at the University of Detroit and served also as the university's poet in residence. There's even a Dudley Randu Poet in Residence Award in his honor that was established in 1971 and is still an annual event at the University of Detroit, which is now the University of Detroit Mercy. But it's still an annual event known as the Dudley Randu Poetry Contest. So as mentioned, he started the Broadside Press in the 1960s. He started it in 1965, and it began because he wanted to establish copyright on two poems that Jerry Moore was setting to music. One of his well-known poems, Ballad of Birmingham, and Dressed All in Pink. So he established it because of that reason, and it really just took off right after that. There was a writers' conference at Fisk University in 1965 where it really took off, and he saw another poet there, Margaret Walker, practicing her, reciting her poem about Malcolm X. It was a poem that she was going to perform. And so he commented on the quality of the poems being published about Malcolm. And it was suggested that, you know, they should write an anthology. And so Margaret Burroughs and Dudley Randu communicated their intentions to edit a book of poetry on Malcolm X at that conference. And other poets that were there and publishers were enthusiastic about it, and some were so enthusiastic that they even refused to be paid for their work because they just wanted to get these poems about Malcolm X out there. But it, you know, Broadside Press took off after that, and more black writers started to publish their poems through Broadside Press. In May of 1966, Dudley Randu attended a conference where he received permission to publish work from different poets such as Robert Hayden, Melvin B. Tolson, and Margaret Walker in a Broadside series. He also received permission from Gwendolyn Brooks to publish some of her poems. Broadside Press, you know, published poetry almost exclusively, with more than 400 poets represented and more than 100 books and recordings released. Wow. Broadside Press also has the distinction of being one of the most important literary avenues of the Black Arts Movement, as well as presenting older black poets such as Gwendolyn Brooks and emerging voices such as Nikki Giovanni and Sonia Sanchez to new readers. It still exists to this day, even though it went in decline in the 1970s, it still exists, you know, to this day. So his work and his legacy continues on through, you know, Broadside Press, even though I know now, of course, by a different name. I believe Broadside Press now is called Broadside Lotus Press. And it was a merger between Broadside Press and Lotus Press. Lotus Press was started by Naomi Long Magid in the 1970s, and they merged several years ago to make Broadside Lotus Press, but, you know, a black-owned press that many well-known writers published works through. Now, going back to Dudley Randu, some of his works in the 1960s, Broadside Press published Poem Counterpoem, that was authored by Dudley Randu and Margaret Dana. And Margaret Danner, she was the founder of the Boone House, which was a black cultural center in Detroit, where they both read their work. They worked together. They put out this book, which did well. And the book was said to be the first of its kind. The volume contains 10 poems, each by Danner and Randall. And the poems alternated to form a kind of double commentary on the subjects that both of them addressed that they had in common. Talked about social and intellectual history, and the verses stretch nurture and growth. The Ballad of Birmingham, which was Dudley Randall's most well-known poem, establishes racial progress as a kind of blossoming, as he talks about that bombing in that church, that sad bombing in that church. Some of his other publications were Cities Burning, which came out in 1968, which was a group of 13 poems, which was in response to the riots in Detroit that happened in 1967. Another one of his poetry books was Love You, which was released in 1970. That was a book of 14 poems. And that was followed by More to Remember and After the Killing, which came out in 1971 and 1973. He received many awards throughout his career for his work, and he was named by the city of Detroit in 1981 as the Poet Laureate by the mayor of Detroit. And so he throughout the 60s and the 70s, his work loomed large in Detroit. And as mentioned, he was, very closely associated to the Black Arts Movement. As the editor of the Broadside Press, he was an important part of the Black Arts Movement. As we know, we talk about the Black Arts Movement a lot. The aesthetic counterpart of the political drive inherent in the Black Power Movement, the Black Arts Movement rejected assimilation in favor of artistic and political freedom. From the members that were associated with it, their poems, especially during the 60s, always talked about, it always stressed black excellence, what we call black excellence now, but black artistic freedom. And even some were very militant in their poems. Part of the movement's doctrine was a belief in the necessity of militant armed self-defense and the beauty and goodness of blackness. The origins of the Black Arts Movement was traced to 1965 March, after the assassination of Malcolm X. A brother by the name of Amari Baraka, he moved to Harlem, and he coined the term Black Arts. And there were other, kind of movements associated with the Black Arts Movement, the Revolutionary Action Movement, other groups that were associated were the Nation of Islam and the US organization. And Black Arts, movement poets or BAM poets were known for an innovative use of language, particularly focusing on the use of Black English in their poems, the Black vernacular as we know it, music, and these expressive, full-bodied performances. And these performances were talked about the authentic Black experience, and it rejected white literary standards. These readings, these poems, these writings were told in our expressive way. And Dudley Randall, as we talked, he published a lot of these artists, these writers. And he was a proponent of the freedom that BAM offered Black poets, but especially up-and-coming artists. But he, too, wasn't afraid to question what he saw as paradoxes within the movement. And we talk a lot about that in some past episodes. Sonia Sanchez and Nikki Giovanni had issues with certain things that they saw in both the Black Arts Movement and the Black Power Movement. And Dudley Randall, too, wasn't afraid to address what he saw as like these kind of, just kind of, these things that just didn't feel right to him. one thing that Dudley Randall talked about, he was both for the overtly militant aesthetic and the desire to purify poetry of white characteristics, but he felt that it was kind of restrictive to the expression of black artistry. You know, he viewed himself as a guardian of, he viewed himself as a guardian of a poetic space out of which black poets may create without restriction. So, you know, he had a view of, you know, however you wanted to express yourself, it didn't have to conform to one specific way that everybody was doing in the black arts movement. However you wanted to express yourself as a black poet, you had the right to. But he was a huge proponent of the poets, as we mentioned. He, you know, published many of their works in the Broadway, the Broadside Press, and his work, as I mentioned before, his work loomed large in not just you know, Detroit, but in Harlem and anywhere where black arts, you know, where band poets, you know, congregated and read their works. You know, everybody knew who Dudley Randall was and knew of his contribution to the movement. He died on August 5th, 2000, at the age of 86, in Southfield, Michigan. And in 2001, the University of Detroit, University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols Campus Library was designated a National Literary Landmark by the Friends of Libraries USA, which is now the Association of Library Trustees, Advocates, Friends, and Foundations, and it was named in his honor, the Dudley Randall Center for Print Culture. So as a way of showing respect to him and his contribution to the arts in the city of Detroit, they named this facility after him. The Dudley Randall Poetry Prize, as we mentioned before, is awarded to a University of Detroit Mercy student each year. On January 12, 2014, what would have been his 100th birthday, it was celebrated at the University of Detroit Mercy Library. And so I just go to show you how, you know, his work really affected a lot of people, that even many years after his death, he's still being celebrated in Detroit. But you can look up some of his works. You know, he had a few books that came out: Poem, Counter Poem, Cities Burning, Love You, More to Remember, Poems of Four Decades, that we mentioned throughout this episode. But if you're interested in just checking out more of his work and actually reading and hearing his voice, you can pick up some of the poetry collections that he released, dating back from 1966 all the way down to 1981. But you know, we just want to highlight members of the Black Arts Movement who aren't as well known as, you know, many people know who Nikki Giovanni is. Many people know who Sonia Sanchez is, but not everybody may know who Dudley Randall is and his contributions to black arts. So we just wanted to talk about him and highlight him and his contributions to black history and black culture and what he means to the black arts movement. And Dudley Randall, we salute you. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. You know, hopefully you all enjoy this episode, and I hope the rest of your week is a good week, a productive week, and that you enjoy the weekend that'll be here in no time. So we'll be coming at you with more black history, so stay tuned for the next episode.